This flash briefing was made possible by a sponsorship from AveXis, a clinical stage gene therapy company. The following content was not developed by AveXis.
Today is Monday, March the 4th, 2019. I'm Michael Morale, Director of Multichannel Content for SMA News Today.
A study reports that a new molecular compound called LDN2014 increases and stabilizes the levels of the survival motor neuron protein, or SMN. This improves clinical outcomes in mouse models of mild and severe forms of SMA. The study was called Intraperitoneal Delivery of a Novel Drug-like Compound Improves Disease Severity in Severe and Intermediate Mouse Models of Spinal Muscular Atrophy. It was published in Scientific Reports. SMA comprises of a group of neurodegenerative disorders characterized by the gradual loss of motor neurons in the spinal cord, and it leads to muscle weakness. Motor neurons are responsible for controlling voluntary muscles. It's normally caused by mutations in the SMN1 gene, which provides instructions for making the SMN protein. This is essential for motor neuron survival. In humans, there is a second gene similar to SMN1, called SMN2. This can also produce the SMN protein. SMN2 usually remains unaffected in SMA patients and is known to influence the course of the disease, depending on the number of copies present. But unlike SMN1, only about 15% of the proteins SMN2 makes are functional and full length. Instead, it tends to produce shorter, unstable versions of SMN lacking exon 7 through a process called alternative splicing. An exon is the coding sequence of a gene that provides instructions to make proteins. Alternative splicing is the process of creating different proteins from the same gene. SMN2 is an important disease modifier that makes for an excellent target for therapeutic intervention because all SMA patients retain SMN2. Therefore, compounds and small molecules that can increase SMN2 exon 7 inclusion, transcription, and SMN protein stability have great potential for SMA therapeutics. And transcription is DNA conversion into RNA, which is the template for the production of a protein. So far, only Biogen's Spinraza, which is a disease-modifying treatment for SMA based on this idea, has been approved for use by the US FDA. In the meantime, there have been two other SMN2 splicing modifiers. They are Novartis's branaplam and Roche and Genentech's risdiplam. Both are being tested in clinical trials. Spinraza is showing significant improvements in type 1 SMA patients, but there is still a need for further therapeutic options, as the SMA population is clinically diverse and not all patients respond similarly to Spinraza treatment. In this study, the research team from the University of Missouri and their collaborators set out to characterize the efficacy of LDN2014. They used this new SMN2 splicing modifier compound in mouse models with mild and severe SMA. First, they observed that animals with severe forms of SMA treated with LDN2014 had higher levels of the SMN protein in the brain and the spinal cord. This was compared to the control of mice being treated with a vehicle solution. However, SMN protein levels were identical in the muscles of LDN2014 and vehicle-treated animals. In addition, mice treated with LDN2014 survived twice as long as those treated with the vehicle solution. They also had up to a 30% longer lifespan than untreated animals. This increase in survival was also accompanied by significant weight gain and a remarkable improvement in muscle strength and motor function. In mice with milder forms of SMA, LDN2014 had similar effects. It increased their survival, lifespan, and body weight. It also improved general posture and muscle strength. Based on these studies, researchers propose that post-translational stabilization of the SMN protein may show a greater benefit in less severe SMA mice models. This could render them suitable to be of clinical benefit in combination with splicing modifiers and antisense oligonucleotides to prolong the time between treatments. In summary, they conclude that LDN2014 is biologically active in two important animal models of SMA. Although limited by its solubility, it expands this mechanically distinct avenue for the treatment of SMA.
Coming up next, I'll share one of my perspectives with you.
Are you interested in understanding gene therapy? ExploreGeneTherapy.com has helpful information about gene therapy, including its history and how it is being investigated for the treatment of genetic diseases. Visit www.exploregenetherapy.com.
I've always wondered if Spinraza is really helping me, or if it's all just in my head. This is a question that I believe all of us that are on this treatment ask ourselves every once in a while. Let me recap my journey so you'll better understand my answer. Monday, September the 18th, 2017 was the beginning of my journey. I call it a journey because a story has a beginning and an ending, whereas a journey has a beginning but no definitive ending. Let's face it, Spinraza was going to be a permanent fixture in my life, so the term journey better defined the new chapter in my life story. For better or worse, I had committed myself to a lifetime of intrathecal injections that would go directly into my central nervous system. Would it work, or would it be another life-shattering disappointment that I would just have to face? I told myself that only time would tell, but to tell you the truth, even I was shocked at how little time it took before I would realize the answer to my own question. After getting through the first four injections, called loading doses, those of us on Spinraza receive three injections every year for the rest of our life. These are called maintenance doses. Every March, July, and November, I check myself into the William P. Clements University Hospital in Dallas, Texas, at the UT Southwestern Medical Center. For the next 2 or 3 hours, I go through the usual blood test and urine analysis, then I'm twisted like a pretzel and put into various positions that would greatly resemble a Kama Sutra position for some erotic sex novel or movie. Doctors and nurses, they hover over me like flies swarming a piece of fried chicken. After getting me in the position that they need me in, I'm always asked if I'm comfortable. Imagine just for a moment how you would answer this question. Usually, my butt is sticking straight up in the air, my arms are above my head, and my torso looks like a mangled piece of twisted metal that just came out of a very bad car wreck. Yeah, I'm fine. Thank you for asking. Knowing that attractive nurses can now examine every orifice of my body may be somewhat humiliating, but when I think about my end goal and what I'm trying to achieve by being on these treatments, I swallow my pride and tell the doctors and nurses that I'm just fine. Let's be real, I seriously don't think that my unusual body position is anything that they've never seen before, so if they can work around the visual that my body was presenting to them, far be it from me to complain. Okay, so now that you know a little background as to what I go through 3 times a year, let me start answering the question that I asked at the beginning of this flash briefing. After receiving my first maintenance dose injection in March 2018, I knew that it would be another 4 months before I received another injection. Anticipation mounted each and every month as I waited to see if I was going to continue to decline physically like I had before starting my treatments. As July 2018 approached, I knew that it wouldn't be long before my second injection, and I was quite surprised at the results. Even though I could feel my body starting to be a little bit more lethargic, it was nothing compared to past results. For my first 3 maintenance dose injections, I could feel my body was needing its next injection, and it was almost like a hunger or a craving. After receiving my first year of maintenance dose injections, by the end of 2018, I could definitely tell a difference in the way that my body felt and how it was reacting. As of the time that I'm doing this flash briefing, I'm now exactly 2 weeks away from my next maintenance dose injection. Overall, this will be my 8th injection that I received, and I can say without a shadow of a doubt, my level of energy and strength are maintaining themselves and are not declining like they used to. As of today, my body feels strong. I'm just as strong at 10 p.m. as I am at 7 a.m. I would have never been able to say this a year ago. Along with the Spinraza injections, I've also been going through physical therapy now for well over 1 year. I truly believe that Spinraza, coupled with my physical therapy, have done me a world of good. And while I still have a long way to go, I don't see anything standing in the way of me getting stronger each and every day. March 11, 2019 will be another chapter in my book. This book used to be filled with a lot of unknowns. Now, this book is filled with a world of hope and excitement for the future. What more could I ask for? The information in our flash briefings and podcast are provided for informational and educational purposes only. Be sure to tune in daily to SMA News Today for the latest news and perspectives regarding the disease. All of our podcast and flash briefings can be found on our website at www.smanewstoday.com. You can also find our podcast and flash briefings on SoundCloud, Spotify, and iTunes. And be sure to follow us on our Instagram and Facebook page as well. For SMA News Today, I'm Michael Morale, Multichannel Content Director.